and Sid in the morning.
Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Sleep with one eye open.
Life, sports, politics.
Stay woke.
Mischief.
Oi.
Hi, this is Ann Coulter.
Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri.
Hey, this is Daryl Strawberry.
Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Hi, I'm Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid show with my friend Russ Salzberg. Sid's in London. Hey, listen, my next guest, as we await his phone call, Rusty.
Yes, sir.
This guy, Brad Thor, his book is Backlash. That's his new book. And he's got the other book that he wrote prior to this, The Spymaster. This is his 19th novel. All of it. He's been on the bestseller list on the New York Times since 2002.
19th novel?
Every year, 19th.
Oh, my God.
19th. They're brilliant. They're fun to read, and I'll tell you more when we get on. But he's also a well-known. He dislikes the president very, very much. In fact, he actually declared his candidacy to run against the president. I swear to God.
Dead serious.
He used to appear on Fox News all the time, and I guess when he started. Really bashing the president or criticizing him. I mean, bashing is not a fair word. He disappeared from Fox News, and that's how I knew him from that. And he used to appear on the Imus the Morning Show all the time, and he's a brilliant guy. And the books, as I mentioned, just a lot of fun. The main character in the books is a former Navy SEAL guy. He's now an intel agent. And the last book, it blew your mind, the last few pages, so much so that people couldn't wait until this new book came out, Backlash, to see what would happen. And it's gotten rave reviews. And right now on the phone with us, Rusty, is our good friend, my good friend, Brad Thor. Brad, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Brad.
My mom is so happy that the first media engagement I'm doing for the new book is with Bernie. I always tell Bernie that she loved him. She couldn't stand O'Reilly when he didn't laugh at Bernie's jokes. And anytime Imus gave him any sort of crap, my mom's like, you know what? That Imus is holding Bernie back. She loves Bernie. It's fantastic.
Well, your mom and I have something in common because I was just telling Bernie that. He's one of the funniest men alive.
Look, you guys are making me blush, but Brad, this is all about you and your new book, and your mom's got to be really, really proud. As I was mentioning before, there has not been a year since 2002 that one of your books, and in one case, two books in one year, was on the New York Times bestseller list. And this one that you have now, Backlash, you've outdone yourself. You really have.
Well, thank you. I always tell people that it's like the James Bond movies, right? You want to get better and better and better each time going forward. And so that's my dad's a no longer active Marine. My mom was a flight attendant back in the 60s for TWA. And they said just every day treat it as if it's your first day on the job. And they said never rest on your laurels. Every time you sit down to write a book, make it more exciting, make it more fun. And they've told me, they say, people work their butts off. They've got a lot of other things they're doing, they could be doing. So if they're going to pick up one of your books, you better make sure you give them the most exciting thrill ride you're capable of. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder, the work. But I do it because the readers are the people I work for, and they got to be happy.
Success. Mission accomplished with Backlash, which, by the way, it plays off the suspenseful, the unbelievable ending of your last book, Spymaster. As I mentioned before, you actually called in, Brad, the main protagonist, Scott Horvath, an ex-Navy SEAL guy, U.S. intel agent. I mean, a bunch of his buddies and the love of his life was killed in the last few pages of the last book. And that's not giving anything away. And then he was captured and by Russians. So it's sort of topical. The Russians still sneaky and devious these days, always engaged in some sort of evil in many places on the globe, including our own mainland here in the United States. So the book is topical and very, very fun to read.
Well, thank you. And it comes out tomorrow, and you don't need to have read Spymaster to jump right into Backlash. And that was, I wanted to give people just something that they hadn't seen before, and they grab this guy on U.S. soil, drag him over to Russia, and they make one mistake. And that mistake, this guy's like the Predator. He's like the Terminator. The Russians make one mistake, and that's all he needs. He's waiting for them to make this mistake. And now he's got to battle his way out of Russia. And he's in one of the most remote, one of the most dangerous and hostile parts of the country. There's not a single person on the ground that wants to help him. And his own government, the United States, doesn't know where he is. It was fascinating to research what we would do in real life if one of our top spies got snatched. And I loaded the book with lots of insider details about the SEALs, about the CIA, and how we locate one of our own if something like this happens. It was a lot of fun to write.
Brad, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you're a pretty darn prolific novelist. I mean, this is your 19th, and this is something I've always wondered. You know, like, I go for my runs in the morning, and you know, I'm solving the world's problems, and I'm thinking of ideas, but my ideas are of nonfiction, whether it's news or sports, whatever it is. How do you come up with your ideas? Is it an ongoing thing? I mean, you're talking about 19, so does one go in sequence to the other? Or, like, when do you come up with these things, and how long does it take you to come up with an idea?
It's a good question. So yeah, I like running, and I also love the batting cage. There is something about focusing on connecting the bat and the ball that triggers this part of my brain. It also, bourbon works very well, too.
Bourbon.
Yeah, bourbon too. A run, a baseball bat, or bourbon. I like to say, what if? I'm a voracious consumer of the news, both here at home and abroad. So Stephen King once said that a writer is someone who's trained their mind to misbehave, and that's absolutely true with me.
And yeah, I would say this about Brad Thor. He knows of what he speaks, some of his history, which I know he doesn't like to talk about a lot. He was actually embedded once with the special ops in Afghanistan, with the black ops, I should say. So he knows about the chicanery and the stuff behind, you know, that a lot of people don't read about in the newspapers that happens in this world, in this ugly, nasty world of intelligence and counterintelligence, and also other things as well that I won't even go into because I know, again, Brad doesn't want to talk about it. So, Brad, that brings me to my next question to you about some politics. Well, first of all, the president and Iran. I mean, now, look, I mentioned before, you're not a big fan of the man personally. But what did you think of how he handled this whole latest Iranian escapade with them blowing up ships in the Straits of Hormuz and then knocking down one of our $180 million drones out of the sky?
Well, I thought it was a very presidential move to say, listen, it's $180 million, but I don't want to kill 150 people, even if they are Iranians. I don't want to kill them for a $180 million drone. And I thought, again, very presidential move. He's unpredictable, which does very well sometimes in foreign policy, where they think they know what we're going to do next. So Winston Churchill once said that jaw-jaw talking was better than war. So we might look back and say, you know, it was not like anything we'd ever seen before, the presidency of Donald Trump, but he got stuff done. So, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And we were putting sanctions on North Korea, not talking with them. This kind of out-of-the-box style might be what it takes to push these dictators into a position of respecting the president and the United States and coming to the table and repairing their evil ways. So I think only time will tell, and we have to trust that he's got good people around him, he's getting top-notch intelligence, and that he's making the right decisions. You know, I was happy when he launched the missiles early in his presidency into Syria because of the chemical attacks. So I say we keep giving them time and see what happens. But so far, you know, we're not going to war anywhere, and I like that.
You know, this is something that Bernie and I, Brad, were talking about it earlier. You know, you don't have to like somebody to still be able to applaud or say, okay, this is a good job. It's no secret that you are not a Donald Trump fan. But it sounds like you're, I don't know if the word is applaud, but you're agreeing with the way he's handling the situations.
Yeah, I mean, I worked on the presidential campaign for Rick Santorum a couple cycles ago. The last cycle, I worked for Governor Rick Perry, now Secretary of Energy Rick Perry. My dad's a Marine, so character matters. Leadership matters. Would you follow certain types of people into battle or not? I was raised with character. It matters. But the American voters spoke, and they chose Donald Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary. I wasn't going to do it. And I understand that. And I respect the process that we have in our republic. So I respect my fellow Americans. They chose Donald Trump. I didn't. He was not my choice. But I didn't want Hillary either. It was a very tough situation. But to somehow cling to, oh, I didn't vote for him, so I'm never going to support anything he does, is ridiculous. Then you're rooting for the failure of your own country. I want Donald Trump to be successful. I want him to succeed. I love the judges. The one thing the Republicans don't do, and they're a bunch of lying SOBs, is they always moan about the debts and the deficits when they're in the minority. But when they got control of everything, they didn't cut the spending. And as a conservative who's primarily concerned with national security and financial responsibility, that bugs me because the debt is a national security issue. So I'd like to see the Republicans tighten up on the spending. Because if we ran our households the way they run D.C., we'd all be bankrupt. But they've got a printing press. We don't.
This is very, very true. I mean, we're spending out of control. It's just the debt is increasing exponentially. But, Brad, in a nutshell, would you vote for this president again in 2020? I mean, not again. Would you vote for him for the first time in 2020?
You know what? I certainly wouldn't vote against him. I voted third party last time. I live in the state of Tennessee, which I get it. It's kind of a cop out. You know, the entire state of Tennessee is going to go red.
Right.
He's not going to lose. But again, the son of a United States Marine, character matters, and there is a certain bar you have to at least attempt. If he dials back on the Twitter and acts a little more presidential, I know a lot of New Yorkers don't care. They're used to kind of that rough and tumble stuff. But I'd like to be able to point to the man and say to my children, you know, this is the kind of leadership you should expect, and I'm not seeing it. So while I'm supporting the policies, I'll have to see what happens in the run-up to 2020. I'd love to be in a position to say, you know what, man, he's really kicking butt, and he's setting a good example for my kids. But I'm certainly not going to get in his way. I'm not going to stop him. I'm not going to do anything to dissuade people from voting for him because, God forbid, we got like a Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. But if Bernie wants to forgive my mortgage along with all the college debt and the free medical,
yeah, right.
You know, hey, why not? Socialism. I'm joking. I don't want that either.
No. We were looking for the greater good, and that would not be for the greater good. But look, Brett, this is a glimmer into the open-mindedness and the brilliance of the author Brad Thor. His book is called Backlash. Excuse me once again. Backlash is the new book. He kicked off the media tour right here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Brad Thor, Backlash. Check that book out. Believe me, you won't be disappointed, folks. Brad, thank you very much for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Brad. Boy, you know, Bernie, I got to tell you something. Listening to him talk, he's everything that you said and then some. He thinks, well, he says how I feel. You don't have to like the guy, but you want our country to succeed.
Which is why I always say,
yeah.
I feel like I'm in a foxhole with this guy, so I'm not going to take shots at him.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we're fighting a quasi-civil war with the lunatics on the left. And so I'm not going to give comfort to the enemy by taking cheap shots at the guy in my foxhole just because he farts or says dumb things once in a while. I'm just not going
to
do it.
Well, it's like I said to you. I didn't vote for the guy. But what pisses me off is the other side that is like, okay, we don't care what he does. He can't do anything good.
Right, exactly.
We have to go the other way. If he says night, I say day. If he says black, I say white.
Which is exactly the case that's playing out in front of us right now. Brad Thor, the new book, Backlash, on the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk radio. 77 WABC.